Brought to you by Face to Face Games.
The first rule of Fight Club is...
Yeah,
we're right.
Hold on.
Wait,
I'll be right back. Hold on. No. I'll be right back.
After the message.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I'm back.
Oh, I thought you were seriously leaving.
Hold on. I'll be right back.
What? You know what I want to know? What is the what did they say when they were back? Because I always remember they're like, "Hey, we'll be right back after these commercial breakfasts." Breakfasts? Oh man, it's so early. All right, well let's get into this, people. Welcome in. Invocation to you and your friends. Hype. Every tagline and phrase we can think of, we're back. It is episode 13. It is Hype Club.
Got there.
I am Maddie Studios.
I'm Tony Awesome Sauce. We did it.
We are ready for the trials of the gods, the trials of the beavers, the mother beaver in particular. Oh man, if we don't get a mother beaver god, there is something wrong. I'm just like,
yeah, the red and white god.
Yeah, the red. They're only monocolored, so sorry to disappoint. There's no double color gods. We get some monocolored gods. It also looks like, I don't know if it was just on Wizard's part or something, but the trailer dropped for the set, which is pretty cool.
It's really cool.
I have to start the show off with this, and because this got, I literally had chills running down my arms. I know in the show notes it's backwards, but I have to start with this because this was crazy. The trailer's cool. It's like got a lot more 3D animation, like Ava Mindsetter flies over the city. But what's really fascinating is they have this like cool, like gladiator chants, like dun 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 going in the background, and then the people are chanting stuff, and it's really like hard to perceive what they're saying initially, and then it gets clearer and clearer, and when it got really clear and I heard by force of will, and I was like, no, you can't. I swear, chills. I'm like, they can't. And then I'm like, they put force of will on the set. I know Marl said that there's no anything but the gods, but I'm like, could they change magic forever? Like, force of will in standard would, I don't know if it would do absurd things, but in wow, that just like moderns on its head.
I know. I thought the exact same thing when I heard that force of will.
Oh, I know they're trolling us. that was funny because it was the first thing I thought. So I know you had a super busy weekend. We're going to get to that later in the show. But let's start off with something that I think maybe we're going to be seeing a lot more of, and that was Channel Fireball coverage, which was really interesting to me because I was like, okay, you got the announcement, man, you're taking over 2018, we're expecting big things, let's see what we got. Modern Team GP is up. I'm like, yes. I'm like, okay, this is gonna be absurdly awesome weekend, let's go, let's jump in. We got Patrick Chapin in the booth, we got LSV. I mean, like, this is gold, right? And then I was watching, I think I watched maybe half a match or a match, and they're like, well, we'll be right back after these messages. And they literally just put up a screen that said commercial break.
Yeah.
And they did that every match. Even when there was no point to doing it, they just put it up. Like, in between shuffling, like when guys were sideboarding, they put it up for 2 minutes. Twitch was crashing on any Android box. You'd be watching it, and then I guess there was some glitch where they were supposed to load a commercial into it, and it didn't. But it would just freeze Twitch. So you'd be sitting there, and I'm like, well, it's like 20 minutes later. I'm turning it off. Or I'd jump back and forth. So I missed so much of the coverage because there's nothing to do. It's like commercial break. Play some crazy techno dub beat that people were making. The chat, by the way, if you want to have fun on coverage, if you're bored, just turn the chat on, because man, it's troll
yeah,
epicness.
Yeah, don't stay for too long, but you know,
no.
Enjoy while you can.
If a woman gets on stream, leave, because it just gets really bad. but if there's commercials on, oh man, people were just firing off troll memes left and right. But what did you think? Did you get a chance to see any of it?
Yeah, I funny enough, when I came home from my open experience on Saturday, I was pretty tired on Sunday, and I got up and I tried to play the showdown at work, and that didn't really go so well for me. So I came home and watched as much coverage as I could, and I noticed that it just felt like a Saturday morning cartoon, you know, with that little message. After these messages, we'll be right back. The little guy with the cowboy hat, you know, like,
yes, or the three singers, I remember. But the one thing that blew my mind is they had interesting stuff to talk about. Like, so much interesting things. And I guess I'm spoiled by SCG coverage, and I hope Fireball takes some pointers from it. But during downtime, don't go to commercial breaks. Please don't do that. Talk about the gods. You had LSV and Chapin, and you didn't ask them amazing stuff like, what do you think is the implications, the new word. you know, what are some of the things, new cards? Let's talk about spoilers. Let's talk about ramifications on Modern. Let's talk about, like, a million interesting things. And they did their silly, what is it? Banner, not Banner, but Ban. Shout out to Martin Burnett. No, what was this? I can't even remember. What is it? Oh, Fact or Fiction. They have their little, like, segment. And then, on day two, the worst part is, they did it again. So they had maybe five questions, and then they recycled it the next day. So I was just like, wow.
Yeah. So I felt the two biggest opportunities that I noticed were, one, I was super excited that Pat Chapin was there. He's good to listen to. He's excited about the game.
He wasn't excited, dude. I'm sorry. He was a little down. Normally he has a lot more energy. He felt like he was like, meh.
When you see him on coverage, he looks so unprofessional.
Yeah.
Like, laid back on the chair, like... Yes. IDGAF, like, about anything, you know, and, like, but, you know, he can talk through a match magic. And then they didn't have LSV cover the finals.
Thank you. Thank you. That was the one thing that was driving me crazy, because I'm like, at least with Marshall and LSV in the booth, it's a decent pairing. Okay.
I was pretty upset at that.
For sure. But to not put LSV for the finals? And it was an insane, by the way, positives, the decks were wicked.
Yes.
The matches were awesome.
The top eight was insane. The matches were ridiculous. Yeah. Like, they're so ridiculous. The Reed Duke match was like the most crazy thing ever. But here's the thing. I noticed that they didn't put LSV in the booth for the finals because I actually fell asleep before the last game. So I don't actually even know who won the GP. I watched all the way up until that. And then They didn't captivate me.
The Peach Garden knows, man. They didn't do it. They lost in the finals.
Oh, no, they lost.
Yeah, but it was insane. It was of the quality of the decks that you're watching, it was one of my favorite. Fantastic. Like, this actually, Modern is kind of like getting me really excited again. I know we all got tired of it for a bit, but I'm starting to see some innovation. And maybe this is Team GP Modern, so the decks aren't as oppressive as they would be because, you know, they're sharing cards. But I really felt like it was really exciting watching the decks. I loved seeing what was going on. I just feel like more Patrick Sullivan, more Seti P, more LSV. I love those guys. Chapin was okay, but he felt like his energy was just zapped. You know, he felt like he wasn't on stuff or something. I don't know. He was a little bit like, okay, I guess. Like, on some of the plays, too, he's calling it like, well, I wouldn't do that. But okay, let's see. You know, like, what? Like, explain what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But anyways, overall, it was cool. Hopefully, we just keep improving it and figure something out, man. I mean, you know, Magic Covered and SCG do things during the commercial breaks. It's kind of... I don't know. I just felt like they half-assed that part of the show. You know, it was like, all right, we'll cover matches, but they didn't put any time into thinking anything else out, you know?
Yeah, into the, like, production of it, you know?
Yeah, exactly, right? And I know they're trying, like, with some new screen graphics and that, but hire the guys that work for SG. Anyways, let's move on to the exciting stuff, because Aven Mind Sensor was spoiled We saw it last week because we saw the invocation, but we didn't know that it was going to be in the set. It is. The art looks... I don't even know. The art on the regular version of that card is the best version, hands down. I want foils, period.
What? That's, yeah.
Invocation, garbage. Regular set art, foil, insane. I'm sorry. That art is so beautiful looking. Oh, if they do the eyes and the foil, it's going to look great. But let's talk one thing, because we glossed over it really quickly, and I think I haven't read anything online or seen anything and anyone really talking about the impact of what Aven Mind Center is going to do to Standard, and most importantly, it is going to radically change Frontier. Like, radically. So let's talk. Frontier gets Aven Mind Center and Standard. Woo, baby.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Standard is a little more controlled, it feels, you know, like it's definitely going to take down the power level of the Delirium decks with Traverse the Ovenwald.
You're traversing for a land? Bingo! Like, that is brutal.
Yeah, I mean, and even if Traverse Delirium is turned on and they're looking for a creature or land and it's a top four, like, there's still, like, a chance that they're going to find something. So it doesn't feel like, you know, completely busted in Standard. It's going to be sweet. It's nice to have another Flash Flyer, and, you know, with cards like Always Watching, you can really, like, put a lot of pressure on, and, I mean, cards like Avacyn are still legal, and more Flash creatures, you know, Spell Queller.
I mean, the other thing, too, is you got to look at, like, potentially Brood decks, like, really tier 3 stuff, like War of Invention. Oh, does that get punished hard?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like,
anything that we see now that is potentially searchable gets, you know, you got to be ready. I mean, game one, sure, you're probably going to get away with it. But game two and three after sideboard, Aven Mind Center feels like it's just going to be a three of in every sideboard that can play it. It's just good, right?
Yeah, I mean, it feels to me like putting Aven Mind Center into Frontier is very, very similar to the feeling of when Scavenging Ooze was injected into Modern, where it's like, okay, this just changes graveyard strategies. Well, Aven Mind Center just changes abusive four-color mana-based strategies.
Yeah, I mean, you know what really sucks? It really hurts, and it somewhat helps Thundercats, because I don't want to play against Aven Mind Center and playing Thundercats, because I'm going to get blown out.
Yeah, right.
But I also want one in my Thundercats deck, just so I can fetch and get someone. But Mind Center and fetches are... I mean, it's funny, because in Modern, Mind Center isn't, like, something I see a lot of. I see it in Green White Hate Bears a lot, and that's about it. Maybe as a one of in a Kiki Cord deck sometimes, but I don't really see it a lot, so... I think people don't play around it. It's the same thing with, is it Shadow of Doubt?
Yeah. Right?
That, like, no one plays around Shadow of Doubt. And, you know, Jackie and a few other people, like, love trolling people with that. And it is good, because it's like, you know, boom, gotcha.
Yeah, and it still cycles, no problem.
then there's that. But I feel like, for Frontier especially, the format is very greedy. Very, very four color is easy peasy to do. The decks aren't, like, super fast enough where you're punished. So I feel like that is going to get some people, man. You know, like mana ramp on turn two, you know, maybe like turn one elf or something.
Oh, absolutely. Your turn one Elvish Mystic, turn two land go is going to be like, oh, man.
Yes, you know, right? Like, you're just like, oh. And especially against like Jeskai or Dark Jeskai, it's just going to be, please crack that Pluto.
I know.
Just go get your black for your fatal push. Like, how gross is that?
Yeah.
You know, they go to fatal push, you're like, nah. Oh, it's really interesting. I'm super excited. Again, like, Frontier is one of the formats for Brewers that's so exciting when new sets come out in Standard, especially when we get some powerful stuff. It's just like, ooh, what are we doing, man? Oh, what are we doing?
Yeah, Mind Sensor's going to be really strong. And as someone who's currently trying to break Emrakul in Frontier... it's a bit annoying on the traverse plan. It's not the end of the world, but it's pretty annoying.
I mean, it doesn't stop Aetherworks.
No, it doesn't stop Aetherworks Marvel, and like any good mid-range to late-game deck worth its salt is going to play some number of Walking Ballistas, and that's like a very good answer for X1s.
Yeah, and the other thing that, like, I guess Collected Company is something that if Mind Sensor becomes something everyone's aware of, like, Horde probably gets swapped from just key or collect a company decks, because like why waste time? Although you can collect a company into that too, which is actually really good.
Yeah. And it maybe it could, you know, maybe it like goes in the spirits deck or to help the tempo, or you know, the Jeskai deck where you have like this and Mantis Rider on three. You know, so maybe it's just a tempo card, but being able to hold it up on turn two, I think, is going to be really, really strong in like Abzan aggro post board.
Now let's. I know a few people threw out some really crazy theories about what does Aven Mind Sensor signal? You know, for standard. And I know we just got fetches, Zen fetches reprinted in Modern Masters. Everyone's really happy. Prices aren't coming down as fast as some people would like, including me. But Aven Mind Sensor is really interesting because that's kind of like printing the, not a hate card, but a check card. You know, let's keep things in check here because we saw what happened last time. We gave you fetchable duels and we gave you four fetches and it went to hell. So we've got a new set of duels that we're going to talk about next, which have duels. Land types on them? I don't know what happened there. That is part of this discussion. So we've got to a new cycle of cycle lands with land types, and we've got Aven Mind Sensor. It just feels to me like, ooh, are we going to Atlantis and there's going to be fetches? Or maybe the block after that? Like, I feel like they might want to sprinkle that in again, you know? I know a couple of people read the blog, Meryl, and, you know, and stuff, and they said they don't want fetches in standard, but that honeypot of money, that money of putting fetches in a standard set sells things so bad. And with invocations kind of getting blown out, you know, oh, I feel like they might panic and be like, we got to do it, guys. What do you think?
So I got a really good idea here with the going to Atlantis. Maybe what they do when we go to the underworld city to bring all the prices down the way that Maddie wants them to, is we only print blue fetches.
That would do it.
Right?
You know what's funny?
Then there's okay. One less fetch in okay. standard. You know, there's only sure. four fetches. It's all the expensive ones.
I'm going to say this. We don't get spreading seas in an underwater set. Something's wrong. Okay? I'm sorry. Like, that's got to be in there. But, you know, you bring up an interesting point. I've noticed a lot of people talk about the blue fetches. Always get your blue fetches. Get your blue lands, right? And it's so funny that in Modern right now, I would argue that blue fetches aren't even good. It's the black fetches. Anything with that fetches black is probably at a premium right now. Yeah. I mean, maybe price memory of Scalding Tarn and, you know, stuff hold that in people's heads. It's just like, no, that should always be the most expensive one. But I would argue that black is actually the best fetch. Maybe even in Legacy.
Maybe not. What? Yeah.
Okay, I'm so sorry. Sorry. Brain fart. No.
You're crazy.
All right. You know what it is? It's that force of will chant. It's just like, the force of will. Okay, so you know what's funny? So now that we've had a week, I know I got a bunch of DMs about people that told us last week's episode was crazy and funny and they loved the live reactions, which we will do again, 100%.
Yep.
In fact, going forward, we will try to, whenever Wizards does something like this, if we can schedule it right, oh, we'll totally do it. Because that was fun times. But you've had a week now. In Invocations, do you still feel the same way? Like, what do you feel now? Now we've had a good week to absorb. We've had a week to like hear other people's thoughts and like gauge reaction and kind of like get used to the art a bit. What do you think?
I still am not passing judgment until I get to, I put one in my hands. Maddie!
Okay, I, normally I would agree with you, and I was down on the Zendikar expeditions until I saw one, and then I was really down on it because I hated the shiny glossiness of it.
Yeah.
Somewhat similar with the Kalos Inventions. I don't know why they like gloss. Ugh, it just... For me, a premium thing should not be glossy. Seeing, you know, the video of the card pretty much confirms that these are not what I'm looking for. I've it's funny because I showed my kids, I showed a bunch of like other people that I've been talking to this week, and they're just like, that's cool. They're like, oh yeah, like that's so neat. What is that game? Like, that was the question everyone said. No one said, wow, that's an awesome magic card. They were just like, what is that game? Is that an Egyptian game? Like, someone thought it was Stargate. One of my friends who played Magic back in the day with me, he's like, this is awesome. I would totally play Stargate SG-1. Like, it's not, dude. It's their invocation. He's like, how is that a magic card? So it's interesting. I've seen a lot of feedback. I feel like James Chilcott ran an interesting poll where 80% of people said they're not interested and do not want to purchase these, which if that's – he had a good couple hundred, 300-400 people respond. Okay, I know Twitter's negative, but, dude, that's not good, right? That is not good that most people, I would imagine. There's people that love it. I love you, people who love it. That's great. I want to get hyped for this. I'm glad Wizards pushes the boundaries. I mean, go for it, guys. Underwater set, let's just have the cards soaking wet, you know? They're just water damage.
So I was thinking about this, Maddie. What if the reason that these ones are so outlandish and so out there is because they have at WotC they have to have, you know, multiple sets of these laid out, you know? And they're looking at them in a boardroom with all of these different options out, and they sort of said, like, okay, what's the most outlandish? How far can we push it? That's going to be the most boundary testing with the fans. Let's do that one first. Let's go crazy, and then we can always tone it back, and then we don't have to change all these other ones, and we'll gauge the reaction from doing the, like, most outlandish one. So that to me is sort of what I'm picturing these as, and I'm taking them, I'm taking them in and absorbing them as something, as a part of a bigger picture, you know?
I can only comment on being a creative director and running a creative studio for 20 years. I have been in the boardroom. I have been, a lot of the hate comments of people saying this is garbage, fire the junior designer, is not true at all. Like, dude, what you are looking at is professional, high-end, ultimate, committee designed, high end, thousands of hours of work made that. That is not some guy in a back room. The problem is I have been in those rooms in meetings with clients who are like, I wanted Egyptian. This is kind of not Egyptian. And you're like, yes, but the art needs to tell the story. And they're like, we understand that, but we need something special. And it's because the person who is leading the design direction wanted something different. And that ultimately ended up with what you get. So a lot of times success in design is driven by vision, and whoever had the vision saw it through. And I 100% believe that this was a high level decision. They wanted it. And I can guarantee you that in rounds of drafts and revisions, they kept pushing it. It probably came back very light on the border, and they kept pushing it because they probably felt, in my opinion, they're like, the Zendikar or the Expedition Border was one thing, and then they pushed it a little bit with the Masterpiece, and then they were like, but we don't want to do the same thing. I guarantee you that's what the number one reason they changed it was, because they said, we don't want to do the same thing again. It's not going to change enough, and people will say it's boring, right? So that's why I feel like they kept pushing it, and you are correct that they probably said, go harder on this one. Go crazy, because if we're wrong, we have time to dial back the other ones. So the good news is, when you fail this bad, and I have been on that side, man, as a designer, as in project, we have failed, and you learn. And the one thing I can guarantee is they understand what we just said. They very clearly understand this. So hopefully next round, we're going to get bigger art. We're going to get cleaner type. I think those are reasonable. I still believe, though, that we're going to get a themed border. That's the thing they're trying to sell us. They probably won't go back to a black border either. They're probably going to try to do a full border, because again, they want these to look different. I feel like they want them to look very different, which I hope they heard clear that not everyone wants them to look very different, but you know what, the game is old, man. We gotta have different stuff. So sometimes they're going to fail, and that's fine. We got another one coming in 3 months, right? So
exactly.
I can't get Ben out of shape.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. Like, they were going to have 24 more of them. And actually, real quick, I want to make a quick list where we each pick 5 things, and it lasts 3 hours. No, I know. I'm
Hold
just
on,
kidding.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back after these conversions.
Yeah. So I want you to think about a couple of potential next speculations for next sets, invocations, because I have 2 that I think I would be really, really happy with.
Okay. I mean, we can jump into this. We'll do it rapid fire.
All right.
You know what? That's where the ding. Be prepared for the next 40 minutes.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Seriously.
Oh, man.
Okay. I can do these fast because I was thinking about this. There's 5 cards that I felt are part of this, like, not cycle, but like that makes sense. Number 1 is Lightning Bolt. That is 100% going to be in the next one, and it's the one I'm most looking forward to. The second under that is Path to Exile.
Yep.
I really, really want a nice Path to Exile. Probably won't get it, but whatever. Third, Brainstorm. I feel like Brainstorm, oh man, there's so many amazing ideas you could do with that with what we got.
Yep.
Fourth, this is where we start to run into, I don't know, like, I don't know what power level they're pushing with this set. They did put Force of Will in it, so
right.
Maybe. I don't think we're getting any artifacts. And I don't think it's really creature-based. I think it's going to be spells. I don't think we're going to see a Planeswalker. I feel like they're saving those for, like, a big... Well, maybe we'll get Nicol Bolas, because that would be dope.
That would be the one, right?
Okay,
that would be like...
Yeah, just give us one. That's cool. I would be very excited for that. I don't know. What's like another like really popular spell? Like, they did Days already. They did Dark Ritual. One I do think is, we've got 24 more. Now, what is a card that really signifies? Because the next set is like Devastation. This is going to be like Lightning Bolt makes sense, right? Really aggressive stuff like Path to Exile. Like, big things are happening. I think something like a Doomblade or a Go for the Throat. That's like really like things are dying. I think that could also be really perfect.
All right. I'm thinking we could get Damnation then, because we already have Wrath of God.
Oh, I like that. That's a nice little balance.
Right? Right? They give us a Damnation again. And then I want to see Living End.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Yes.
Living End would be a really sweet one, right?
Yeah, dude, that actually makes a lot. You nailed it. That I would say that's like a very likelihood that's it.
Yeah, I definitely that's not my pick. I stole that from my roommate, but I have a show and he doesn't, so I'm taking the credit.
Shout out.
And then the other one I was thinking was Natural Order.
Really? Now I know we've only got one half green card. I think a couple people on Merrill's blog were mentioning that, and he didn't really want to talk about it. So it is Nicol Bolas' plane. If they only stayed, well, they threw white. Yeah, maybe we get more green. Maybe the whole story of the second arc of the set is green coming back to help take down Nicol Bolas. Right? Maybe we get a lot of green stuff.
Well, we're going to have at least, I think it's fair to assume we're going to have at least the green god, right? As a green card.
So that means
there will be some green cards, and if you want to make it exciting and put like a big hitter in there. Like, these are your opportunities to reprint these crazy cards at like a very reduced rate, you know?
I mean, if we don't get Desert Twister, that's kind of a fail, right? I don't know. Is that even EDH playable? I don't know.
I guess.
I don't know, but it's such a
Beast
card,
Beast
right?
Within, if we're going in green?
I don't think Beast Within fits the plane, but interesting. I think Gitaxian Probe doesn't fit the plane either. Whenever we get back to the Phyrexians, we're going to have that whole cycle. Right? Probe,
God.
That stuff will be in between. I don't know. Like, green is very hard. I don't know what... Giant Growth doesn't feel that impressive. Churrus Uvenwald is themed for Innistrad. That's hard. There's got to be something else. Like, what have we said that's half exciting? Like, Lightning Bolt and Damnation? Like, there has to be something in there that's like, whoa, this is a $100 card, or like, a lot. What is that? I don't know.
Hey, maybe Through the Breach?
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know.
You can't even print Goriel's Vengeance because that doesn't even make sense. I mean, Mishra's Bauble, which we desperately need. Hopefully, we're going back to Dominaria. I don't know. It is hard. I feel like we're 100% getting to the point where what is in the next one? Like, what is left to print? I just can't. If they're doing 50 a set, I just don't know what's left to print in the next set. Yeah, you got some Planeswalkers. Yeah, you got some creatures. And then you're out of gas.
All right. No, I'm into it. I want to see what they... I'm excited.
Dude, I want to see too. I hold out hope that they won't be scared to like, okay, we did Cryptic Command, but you know what? In two sets, if Cryptic Command really fits, we're going to do it again and we're going to do it different. Like, I hope they aren't like, well, we did it once, now we can't do it again for X years, you know?
Yeah.
So, who knows? I mean, Lightning Bolt, Path to Exile, cards like that, you could print in every set, man. Everyone needs them. Almost every format. Mana Leak's another one. And Remand, I could see that. Or did we get Remand? No, we didn't. Anyways, let's move on because we spent a lot of time and we got way, way more exciting stuff. Let's talk the new Bicycle Lands.
Oh, yeah. No, I love that name. I love the name.
The Bicycle Lands. You know, I think people are getting a little crazy with naming the lands. Like,
no, I love it. It's so good. Okay. Brand everything.
Okay. What on earth was the dual land type for? Like, I know we don't want to talk about fetches anymore. We covered it, but like, doesn't that feel like out of place to you? Like, okay, Evolving Wilds kind of can get it. Well, no, it can't, right? Like, what? We must be getting something, in my opinion. There's got to be something. Maybe it's one of those new, not shrines. What are they called again? There's two.
Oh, the temples.
Types. Yeah. Maybe there's something like that. Not the temples, the enchantment.
Yeah,
We're so bad at this.
I know.
So bad at this. Hold on, folks. We'll be right back after these commercial breaks. Yeah. Hold on. I've got the internet. I have power. I can do things. All right, here we go. The trials. So the trials of knowledge are really interesting. And then you've got those cartouches. And they're not cartouche. It's cartouche.
Yeah.
Okay, people. So the cartouches and the trials kind of like play against each other. So totally I could see a green one come into play, fetch, search your library for a, I don't know.
Okay. So maybe we get Farseek in this set goes and gets a non-forest, right?
That's really good.
That'd be pretty sweet. And it puts it into your hand so you can just cycle it away.
Okay.
And maybe we have something that is like delirium only basic land types, like sort of like a graveyard, domain, if you will.
Yeah. I think that these cards play very interesting with, the mechanic from Innistrad, Madness. There's a lot of interesting play there. So I love this dovetail. Like, we're only going to have it in standard for a few months, but definitely some interesting things you can do here with that, which is really exciting. So, I mean, Embalm looks really powerful to me. It looks like a slower Undying.
Yeah.
Kind of version. I guess a depowered Undying. Although it's funny that you're like, wait a minute, you were just in Innistrad. You could have done Undying. So I have a feeling they're like, oh, we put an Emrakul in Innistrad. Move Undying to the next set. We can't have Undying. Let's just make it Embalm. I feel like they're, you know, because that's Undying was one of the biggest things I missed from going back to Innistrad. I'm like, dude, that was my jam. That was my mechanic. I love it.
Yeah, Undying was actually really sweet.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's so intuitive and simple to know how it works. There's no like weird cards and bring back tokens. I still think it's, you know, Embalm is a totally powerful standard mechanic. Look at Scrappy Scrounger. I mean, people. That mechanic alone is hard to deal with.
Yeah.
If we don't get exiling effects, something's wrong. Now, we got push. How awesome would it be to get a fixed path to exile?
Yeah, right.
We need that, right? Like, if we don't have an exile effect, something's wrong.
Well, I mean, we have Declaration in Stone, but you want something one mana in instant.
Well, I want everything. But I'm just saying, like, think about this. Deck in Stone's only lasting another 3 months, 4 months. So, what's, like, they got to print an answer to Embalm in the set. I mean, I'm saying that like Wizards knows what they're doing with printing answers, but who knows, man?
Well, we need Incendiary Flow and like Flaying Tendrils and stuff that are exiling creatures. They're definitely going to be relevant.
All right, I mean, for a while. I just hope we get some more stuff. I feel like this set really needs to give answers because when rotation happens, what's left, man? We got Fatal Push. That's it. We don't have Grasp. I mean, think about this. Grasp of Darkness right now is the answer to Gods. Now, Gods, the Red God, is a 5/4. So, you know, I grasp your God, boom. That's a sweet answer. But if the other gods are all 5 toughness or greater, whew, that is going to be difficult to remove. They are the key card of the set, so I imagine Wizards doesn't want easy removal.
That's probably true.
Right? Maybe we get the Path of Exile in Hour of Devastation. I don't know, though. Like, I think these lands look interesting. It reminds me of very much like Madness. I just hope they push this mechanic far enough that there's exciting stuff to happen. Like, energy was really cool, but I don't really feel like there's that much of an energy deck in Standard. You know, we used energy for a bit, you know, to power up Marvel, which was broken, which didn't really work. Yep. And there's the red greed energy deck is pretty much what they wanted to see, and it's cool. It's just not tier one. And then the black green energy is really cool. I love that deck, but again, it's just, I can't compete, man. That's what I'm playing in Standard. I love that Dark Confident energy girl.
Yeah, Roberta.
Oh, man, just so good. Like, it's fun. It's just, dude, I get killed out of nowhere all the time, man. Shaheeli, go.
Yeah.
I'm done, right? Yeah. I can't beat that. So, I don't know. Hopefully we get some stuff in here that's gonna show some interesting stuff. Now, the other news. We got confirmation of these weird split cards. They are legit, man.
They're for
They are weird. Weird. This is like, man, invocations and this at the same time. It's like, I don't know what I'm thinking anymore. We also got some news. Wow, we got a ruling change. I guess we can talk about this all at once because it all impacts everything. It
sure does.
We got a ruling change that basically nerfs all split card. Not really in Standard so much, but split cards in Modern and Legacy and Vintage where, you know, Goblins Dark Dwellers is flashing back both halves of a fuse card.
Yep.
You can't do that no more. You can't do all the tricks. Break and Entering doesn't work. What is it? Beck and Call doesn't work anymore. So the way they work now is each half is treated as its casting cost, but the card in general is treated as both plus. So,
yep.
You know, Beck and Call is 6 mana, so that's kind of weird. I've heard some very interesting things about how that now is potentially broken with, is it Ad Nauseam or Living End? No, it's Living End, because now the Living End doesn't see the lower half. It only sees the higher half, so you can use them early on in an interaction. I don't know if that's a thing or not.
Interesting.
Yeah. The good thing is this does not affect suspend cards, I believe. So Ancestral Vision is safe. All those tricks you can do with suspend in the graveyard still work. But these were all amended because of how these new... What are we even calling these cards? Split fuse cards? Graveyard fuse cards?
I think they're just cards with Aftermath.
Okay, Aftermath cards. Interesting cards, man. I'm excited. We got a new one just now. It's a rare. It's called Prepared/Fight.
Oh, man.
One white instant, untapped target creature gains 2/2 and has lifelink until end of turn. Okay, combat trick. Fight card. Target creature control fights target creature and opponent controls for 4. I don't know about this. This feels limited to me. Maybe Standard? Maybe?
So it's 2 different card types.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
That's Delirium Fuel right there. That's where I feel like something's going to get broken, right? Because Delirium does see both sides.
It's kind of cool that the art on this one is from the video. The chick with the gold sword.
The girl with the sword. Yeah. Yep. I mean, the art is so good. The art, art's great. I just wish I could see more of it. It's interesting. This is, I don't know, 4 mana fight out of my graveyard. Sure. But I mean, like... it's a sorcery. If the fight half was an instant, this would be good, right? Because then I could fight something. I could fight the cat. At least I could kill the cat potentially. Right? I don't know. I don't like this card.
Sure. Like, I could see this in like Naya aggro, where you're playing something like Noose Constrictor, so you have a way to discard it early. Or, like, always watching plus this, so you're, like, exert creatures, like, your exert dragon always untaps.
Yeah.
And, like, giving your exert dragon lifelink is pretty sweet. Like, if you played the dragon on 5 and then killed something, and then you just next turn play this, untap it, give it lifelink, attack again, do 4 damage, gain 4, and then have the dragon itself. That's, like, pretty sweet.
Yeah, you're right. It could be good. Maybe in a Naya build, there's something there. We got another card, though, with absurd art. It's called Lay Bare the Heart. Oh, my goodness.
What is this?
It's a guy ripping a heart out of the chest, straight out of Indiana Jones, man. It's 1 black sorcery discard spell. This is actually kind of interesting. Target opponent reveals his or her hand. You choose a non-legendary, non-land card.
Oh, it's 2 mana, right?
Discard. Yeah, it's kind of like your, what was the other 2 mana black we were using?
Transgress the Mind.
Transgress the Mind. I feel this is better than that.
Well, Transgress exiles.
Oh, it does? Oh, then.
But it's something with 3 CMC or greater.
You know what? This card really feels like it's going to come down to if there's a super powerful legendary creatures like the gods. Those are, you know, if something is like super standard playable, it's going to not be good.
Yeah.
This hits planeswalkers, so that's interesting, but so did Transgress. I don't know. Interesting. It doesn't hit Thalia. It doesn't hit Baral. There's actually quite a bit of legendary creatures that are pretty good. And the exile clause is bad. So who knows? Let's talk about the best card of the entire set though. Sacred Cat, my friend.
Obviously.
Right? Like, I'm sorry, but it is a 1 mana white cat with lifelink, and it has embalm, and the damn token is a mummified cat in the same position.
The token's sweet, right?
Dude, okay, Wizards, huge, huge big ups. Big up to Wizards for doing things like crazy legendary monkey tokens and things. This is the little spice, man. This is what we love. I think most people just love these little hidden things. Beautiful stuff. I want more of that, just less crazy stuff. Let's talk about our first god, Hazoret, the fervent legendary creature god, 4 mana.
Have you looked at the invocation of this yet, Maddie?
Oh, yeah, I did. So, okay. Well, that's funny, because when I read it as pervert.
Obviously.
So, right?
Hazoret the pervert.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, way back in the day, man, heavy metal had some fun with this jackal guy, let me tell you. But okay, tell me though if this is good or not, because I feel my on the surface, this feels mediocre to me for a god. Indestructible Haste, 5/4, 4 mana. Sounds good to me. Hazoret, can't attack or block unless I have 1 or fewer cards in hand. Ooh, I hate that. Hate that clause. And then for 2 and a red, I can discard a card and deal 2 damage to an opponent. I like that. Don't like that it can't attack, though. That feels like if we're getting a mono red deck, this is my, you know, my Alpha Strike card, but...
Hey, it can always crew a vehicle.
That's true, but... Wow, that's weird. A god driving a car. The flavor fails of these blocks are just so bad.
I think that each of the gods are going to have a different stipulation of whether they can attack or block or not. So,
for sure.
So the red one being 1 or fewer cards kind of pairs well with, like I've mentioned already, Noose Constrictor, being able to just dump your hand, pump your Noose Constrictor, and then attack with both. That's pretty strong. And once you are hellbent, then this thing's just good to go. But it also makes me want to consider Lupine Prototype, the 2-mana 5/5, with the same stipulation. And if your goal is to just get Hellbent and attack for 15, I think that might be doable.
Yeah. I could see that. I mean, It just feels like I feel like every deck's running black that can run it, you know? And then if you're not running black, you're running Shaheeli combo. So I'm like looking at these cards and I'm thinking in my head, how does anything, and it's kind of sad because if we didn't have that broken mechanic, it literally deck building would be like you just said. We could try some funny stuff, but everything I'm trying to brew, I'm like, how do I beat stuff? So hopefully like the other gods, I hope everything isn't about hand size. But I have a feeling you're probably correct. It's good because the whole set revolves around cycling. But maybe we get something more interesting. I feel the black god is going to be the best. Just because, like, man, something to do with embalm. Maybe every creature I have gets embalmed.
Yeah, damn.
Right? Something like that. Like, the white god makes cats. Like, how does she not make mummy cats? Come on, man.
Yeah.
We actually have a sacred cat, so just make those, man. Yeah, I'm not impressed by the first god, but are we ever, right? I mean, we got Heliod when in Theros and we were going mental, although Heliod seems so much more powerful. But these gods just feel like really powerful creatures, not gods. You know, that's the one thing that Flavorful, I was just like expecting some more oomph, you know?
I'm actually glad that they are a creature the entire time so you can interact with them that way.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that, yeah. I just felt like the power level. Like, I wanted to see, you know, something really interesting. I hope one of the gods kills a planeswalker, because that's what we really need right now. Now, is there anything else that you saw in the last couple days that's that exciting for you? I know we're just getting, like, the... It looks like they just spoiled every card that was in the video, and then some random stuff to show the mechanics. Crocodile's cool.
Yeah, the crocodile is actually pretty cool.
I think the cards that are the most exciting out of the stuff that was spoiled right now is that Nest of Scarabs. This enchantment that whenever you put a 1-1 counter on a creature, create a 1-1 black insect token. It's 3 mana, which is, if this was 2, man, this could be shenanigans. But there's definitely got to be some way to loop one of the wither creatures, and then maybe something with, what's the Kitchen Finks mechanic again?
Persist,
right? So there's got to be a way, maybe with just persist and sack outlets. There's got to be a way to, like, loop this, right? And just make a million beetles and then, kill you. So keep an eye on that card. I think modern, there's some gas there. That's one I put in my brew stack to revisit as we see what comes into play. But the cartouches and the trials, I feel like we're getting that cycle. That looks really good. If you remember, Cons had the sieges, which were really cool. Love those cards. Hopefully we get some really interesting stuff. Now, this is really cool. The cat, which they never saw Shaheeli, but they gave us the cat that's Blink stuff. I have a feeling Blink in these trials, or maybe even these cartouches, there's something there, right?
Yeah.
A lot of little value going on in there.
Yeah, exactly, which is why I was thinking if they're forced to ban a part of the combo out of standard, I hope it's the planeswalker and not the cat, because the blink effect is fun. Yeah. Anyways, the one that I really like is Flame Blade Adept, the 1/2 Jackal Warrior with Menace for 1 red.
Yeah.
Whenever all you right. cycle a card or discard a card, it gets +1/+0 until end of turn. So that plus Noose Constrictor, where you can just, like...
Oh, I didn't think of that. Yeah, that's good.
And then that'll just turn on Hazoret the Pervert.
Oh, wow. You could dump your whole hand. Yeah. Oh, okay, that's cool.
Right?
I mean, a one mana 1/2 with Menace is already really good.
Right?
The fact that, like, you've got some pump ability on is really neat. Yeah, this card's cool. It's not Monastery Swift Spirit, but it's cool. I like it.
Yep.
I like it a lot. I mean, it's even an uncommon, so...
Even even in, like, a Naya build where you're playing these creatures, like Noose Constrictor, like this combo here, Noose Constrictor, Hazoret, the Pervert, and the Jackal.
All right.
And then the white you want always watching for. Even having on turn 3 this Jackal as a 2/3 Vigilant Menace creature is, like, legit.
Yeah. You know it's so sad that they had to ban Smuggler's Copter? Because could you imagine how insane Copter is with these creatures?
Oh, man.
Can you please give us back Copter and get rid of Heart of Cairn? Because I really want to play with Copter. That is crazy, dude.
Hey, you know where you can do that.
Yeah, I know, right? Right. See, again, Frontier's so good, man. There's no rules, dude. I love that. Attack with copter, loot, trigger. Oh, this is gold, man. And you could probably... You know what? I bet there's a Madness build. Madness, red, black, vampires with, like, this. We get a couple more creatures like this. You could be like, crewing your copter, swinging in, discarding Madness trigger, also get your cycle discard trigger. You could be doing crazy stuff.
Yep.
I think there's, we got to brew that. We got to put that one on the file. We call that deck Blade.
Right? Yo.
The vampire, Madness Blade. I don't know. That one's interesting. I'm excited. I think the what do you think about the art too on those bicycle lands? It's hot.
Yeah, I'm pretty into it. I'm a little disappointed that they didn't have Nicol Bolas in them, to be honest.
Oh, see? Okay, I'm 100% the opposite. I'm glad they didn't, because I was like, dude, the Nicol Bolas horns were getting old.
No. Like, what?
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. It's in everything. It was getting a little
no,
impressive.
It's like, got to be everywhere. This is it. This is Nicol Bolas. Like, this went, okay, so when, okay, Maddie, tell me.
World that gets away from it.
Okay, but not here. Not right now. So, tell me this. When you saw the video and you saw how big the Nicol Bolas horns were.
Well, they're god. I feel like it's on another plane. So it's like his horns are bigger than the planet. It's not even planets, because we need to go to more than one city. Come on. I feel like if this is an actual, we're going to get physical on you here. Physical? No, physics. We're going to get scientific, man.
Oh, God.
If this is a planet, right, there has to be parts of the world where you can't see the horns. If the horns are physical things sitting on a planet, the radius of a curve allows there's some point on that curve that you can't see it.
Hey, Maddie, otherwise, guess what? You know how this works?
No.
It's magic.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew you like it. It breaks all the boundaries. Oh, man. All right. Well, let's get closer to the end of the show here. Let's talk a little bit about where you were on the weekend, because I hear you decided to go on a trial of your own.
Yeah. Kelly and I hosted a Face-to-Face Games Open in North Bay, which is about 3.5-4 hours away from north of Toronto.
Well, explain to the American listeners who are like, where is that again? It's basically just south of the North Pole.
Yeah, about 20-25 minutes south of the North Pole. Yeah, just down.
It's up there.
Yes, it's just a stone's throw over the hill, eh?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, just up around the bend. So we picked up our lovely, awesome, super, 100, amazing, 1000% awesome judge, Rick Miles, from London, actually.
Shout out, Rick.
Yeah, shout out, Rick. Huge. So Rick comes from London to Toronto, meets up with us, and then we drive up to North Bay. We finally get there, and it's not that far. You know, we try and stop for some food in a place called Huntsville. Where Siri told us to go, where we could get some food, and everything in Huntsville was closed at 10 o'clock at night, including the Wendy's and the very old, very angry woman who told us so, that they were closed. Shit, the drive-thru window, she was not happy at all. She was really, really mad. And we were like, is there somewhere to eat around here? She's like, I have no idea. And then closes the window.
Oh, like, Huntsville, yeah. Hospitality.
Yeah, right? So we're like, well, we'll just turn off your sign next time and we won't come in here and bother you.
Everybody in Huntsville knows I'm closed.
Yeah.
And what are you doing in there if the restaurant's closed? But anyway.
Yeah, right? On. Yeah, exactly. So we finally get there. We pull into this this nice, really nice looking pub on the lake called... something like the Crispy Beaver or the Tiger Crown or the
look. If it's not the Crispy Beaver, then this is a fail, because that's hands down the best name ever.
The Crown and Beaver, something like that.
No, Crispy Beaver is what it is.
I'm pretty sure it was the Crispy Beaver. Anyways, we roll in and it's late. It's just after, I don't know, late.
It's dark.
It was dark. It's the North Pole. I'm scared. There's snow everywhere still. And we roll in just in time to see Chef like spike the last bill and like pull down the window.
No.
We're like, no. But this place looks really awesome and like, okay, we're definitely coming back here. Okay. So we find a Wendy's up the street and eat some garbage, horrible food and go to bed.
Did you get back to the Beaver?
The night that we stayed at the hotel, we had a pullout bed and a king size bed because that's what it takes to sleep three grown men in a room.
Yep.
Except there are only two people stayed in the room. Me not being one of them because I'm not a married man who snores louder than a chainsaw. So those two were. So I spent my night in the van. I slept in the van.
Down by the river?
Yeah, down by the river in the at the Crispy Beaver parking lot.
In a van down by the river.
Yes. So okay. I'm in a van by the Crispy Beaver in a parking lot overnight. And I basically sleep for like an hour and a half because I listened to our last episode, which was great, by the way. If you haven't listened to it a second time, you should definitely do that. And then we get up in the morning and we kill a 62 person open with one judge, one buyer, and one booth staff. Wow. Yeah, we set it all up and, there was some news of our arrival to the town because North Bay is not a very exciting place to be. And we were like the exciting thing. So like a news reporter showed up and like talked.
No.
Yeah. And she,
no.
And she,
okay, we have to
and,
get the
and she showed up, last year too, when, cool. when we came. So, no, it was really cool. But, one of my favorite stories from the tournament is the guy who, so I meet this guy and his name's Jeff and I've seen him around a while, and he's always like super nice guy, like likes his swag magic cards. But just loves to play magic. And mm-hmm. last year at North Bay, Kelly had told me a story about a guy who showed up and was like, "Hey man, like, I just want to play some standard. I don't really play standard, but I'll just buy like a whole deck or whatever and then play. So let's do that." So Kelly's like, okay, builds him a whole standard deck. He plays, he O2 drops and he's like, "All right, you can buy the standard deck back from me. Like, that was really fun. This is super cool. I just wanted to come and support the tournament. You guys are awesome. Thanks for coming to North Bay." And so Kelly tells me the story last year, and I was like, man, this guy sounds awesome. So that's Jeff.
Okay.
So he's at the event with his deck this time, and he wins the whole thing.
No.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's pretty sweet. There's another guy who ended up purchasing one of our Hype Club shirts.
Ooh,
because
nice.
Because we had two XLs.
See? A lot of people gave me crap yeah. for getting that. I was like, yeah. Look, man, there's some bigger shirts for those guys, man.
Yep, so that was really sweet. And, cool. you know, there's been some definite action in store on the Hype Club merch, and people are happy to represent. And this stuff's awesome. We need to do another print run of the Liquid Soap Mat soon. So
I know. Well, we got we have a little more room before we get to 75.
So. I know. And not only that, we maybe have to work on. I was thinking, and I'm just totally surprised. I'm spitballing live. Yeah, this is we're just going. We should get like large scale DERF avatars done of like you and I, like you just obviously of the Jace pose.
That's pretty,
right?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, we should probably have those done, and then we can sign them and send them out if people are interested in those.
Yeah, dude, we have ideas. There's so many secret things going on. What was this about Green Machine though? Was anyone playing the good old Green Machine?
Oh man, there so was. Okay, so I have all the deck lists here, and I was going over them aside from the top eight. So I was just gonna get an idea of the metagame and what was going on because it was modern. And there's an actual Green Machine list that has Dungrove Elders and. Oh man, the old school list. Yeah, it had four Groundbreakers in it.
Yes, that's the Groundbreaker list was my spice. Yeah, that was, man, the one I would run. I
love that list. Yep. So nice. That somebody was rocking the old school
did he
beer
do,
machine.
Did he do good or did he get smoked?
I don't have the standings, but wasn't in the top eight pile. So
nah, that's all right. I mean, you know what? It's one of those awesome things. The fact that you can pull 62 players in the middle of nowhere, that's crazy.
Dude. Yeah,
that is testament to the quality and the fact that, like, who else is serving this stuff? Like, you guys are doing God's work, man.
Yeah, and it
you're doing Hazoret the Pervert's
work. Yeah. and not only was it like was that like super sweet, but then we actually got to end our night going back to the Crispy Beaver. And and then we actually got to eat, and there was live music, and they were playing country songs, and Kelly was in love. Like, I'm pretty sure when we got back, Kelly started like looking into buying property there because he's like,
oh no,
he's like, it's probably they fly. It's like a 25 minute flight into Porter, and they fly to the island, right? So he's like, you know, I could probably commute maybe and buy some property
up
there.
You're gonna commute, dude. Gonna commute on a plane, dude. Kelly, you're balling, man. I'm just gonna take the plane into work today.
Hey, all I'm saying, it was a good weekend. That's it. That's what I'm just saying. It was a good weekend.
Hey, you know what? That prices are probably cheap enough out there that it probably breaks you even, right? Instead of actually trying to live and drive.
Right? Except you have, like, own property and have, like, a five-bedroom house.
Yeah, and you can eat at the Crispy Beaver every night.
Right?
Like, come on,
not only
dude.
And, you get to get in an airplane, you know, 50 yeah. times a year.
That's pretty awesome. All right. Now, the last thing we got to do is a shout out. We don't do them every episode because we only do them when they need to be done. But I have a huge shout out to Loader. Ken, the master, the blogger, the vlogger, and amateur skater. Check his vlogs. They are hilarious on YouTube. He came up with something that in the back of my head, I was thinking about doing, but I never got around to doing it. And he started to do Hype Club versions of famous skate stuff. So, like, Thrasher Magazine in Hype Club.
So good.
Right? Like, dude, I grew up with Skate and Destroy. Like, that was the jam, man. We would carve that into the back of picnic benches, okay? And the fact that he did Hype and Destroy, Ken, we love you. We are definitely going to figure out a way to make stickers of those. I don't know what were shirts. I don't know. But that... Dude, love it. Retro. You get full credit. It is your design, man, but it is sweet. I definitely want to get those to all our skater friends out there that love Hype and skating and thrashing and destroying. Oh, man. That's just so sweet. So, huge shout out to you, man. Love what you're doing.
Yeah. Oh, man. That, like, I was in love with him. I started messaging him a little bit and was spitballing some ideas to try and get some more work done and surprise you with it. But we might have something close to the start of the next merch line, you know, because this is something simple that we can that we can do, like, you know, five colors with five colors and. And then do a print run like that where it's not double-sided, double ink sublimated. Yeah. And then exactly. And then these might be ones that we want to have extra to bring to Vegas because these are just low-key, sick shirts, you know. And the lighter single-color ones, these are the ones you get drunk and Sharpie on, you know.
Yeah, no crap, right, man? The other thing that I want to see is if anyone ever can make me a rat bones, but make me a pack rat.
Oh, snap.
I'm just saying. Just if you want to make me happy. This is how you make me happy.
That's it. Designed for the designer.
Oh, man. Designed for the designer, man. All right, everybody. That's another amazing episode of Hype Club.
Hype.
Wait, no. We'll be back.
Right after these messages.
Or didn't they ever say we'll be right back after the commercial break?
After these messages.
Love, yeah, when I'm watching my cartoons. Let's go. Pour the milk in the bowl. Make sure it's ice cold. Hold my hand on the top so it won't overflow. Forget playing outside with my friends from school. It's Saturday morning, fool. But you know it ain't cool. Waking up first, cause all that be on the tube is the snorks and smurfs. Kissy first, strawberry shortcake, or worse. But Coming up next was my boy Johnny Quest, Sim Sim Salabim. But Fat Albert was the best. The Brown Hornet picture pages made me wanna write graffiti. I had to do it when Davy and Goliath couldn't see me. Always trying to do right, they be hanging out with Dudley. But I watched Righty Races rooting for my dog Mutley. You know what really bugged me? What? The Cobots was whack. Man, they bit the Transformers, and that's a well-known fact. But after these messages, we'll be right back. Cereal when I'm watching my cartoons. Boom, boom, tacky Frosted Flakes when I'm watching my cartoons. Boom, I love tacky alphabets when I'm watching my cartoons. Boom, I love King Vitamins when I'm watching my cartoons. I remember Teen Wolf tried to go vegetarian. Told Thundar he was a sick barbarian for eating tiger sharks with his Ninja Turtle suit. Because of that, the Herculoids had to kick him out the group. Yo, we used to be drama on the after-school scene. Tiny Toon started beefing with Beverly Hills team. But the get-along gang would come through and make amends. And by the end of the week, they were all super friends. But G.I. Joe would get them riled up again. Guns out, looking for weapons of mass destruction. Harassing Silver Hawks for little or nothing. Of course, the care Bears wouldn't have the heart to do something. I call Voltron on these inhumanoids. The Centurions wouldn't let the Joes be destroyed. You know, even in cartoon, Americana can't be tacked. But at least you know now, and no one's half the battle. I love to eat cereal when I'm watching my cartoons. I love to eat honeycombs when I'm watching my cartoons. I love to eat Cookie Crisp when I'm watching my cartoons. Now right before we go, I think you got the right to know about She-Ra. On the low, she was a Thundercat hoe. Orko tried to cover up and say she got a man, but he lied. It was really one of Jim's holograms. After that, how God knows, he went around the back and found out Josie selling pussy to cats. Charging 3-2-1 for a little contact. Because Hong Kong Fooey had the illest pimp slap. Her sweet jabber jaws went to the highest bid. But what made it worse is she incorporated kids. So Marshall Bravestar came through with Captain Power and vowed the G-Force would shut him down within the hour. Until Chippendale and the Rescue Rangers came through to say them hoes with a mouse named Danger. To make things stranger, she still gets a hoe. Won't let a hoe be a hoe, and that's one to grow on. I love eating cereal when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I love Crunch Berry when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I love Rice Krispies when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I love to eat Golden Grahams when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I love to eat Apple Jacks when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I love to eat Cheerios when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I love to eat Trix when I'm watching my cartoons. Ooh, I like Captain Crunch when I'm watching my cartoons.
What? And you know I can't live without my cereal.
Yeah, that's it.
And you know I can't live without my cereal.
After these messages, we'll be right back.